Let's turn to the text then that we have. It's this epistle to the church at Philippi. Paul writes it, you remember, as a prisoner. We're not sure, he may be in Rome, but it's his first time in prison. And the theme of this epistle is rejoicing. And we've seen, I think, on a Sunday morning, that the first thing to notice is that Paul rejoices in the Lord. Chapter 3, chapter 4, role as saviour and priest and prophet, to look at him, to look at that portrait, is to rejoice. And then there's a second portrait. It's the future Christ, the Christ in glory, the day of Christ. You rejoice in him by looking at that portrait. That's what we've seen. We've also seen, do you remember, that Paul rejoices in preaching. And I think we had three Sundays thinking about that idea of rejoicing when Christ is preached. Preaching is the most important element in the life of the church. Christ is to be preached. And when Christ is preached, God is revealed. We see God in his wisdom and his righteousness and his sanctification and in redemption. We see the wonder and the glory of God when Christ is preached. And we've also seen that when Christ is preached and the Spirit of God takes that preaching, our hearts are revealed to us and our minds are shown us. So we see ourselves in the preaching of Christ. And we saw that preaching is something that's difficult and foolish, but God has chosen preaching as this great moment in worship. But what I want us to do this morning is turn to verse 6 and just to note, if you will, that in verse 4, there's a mention of joy. And that's the same Greek word for rejoicing. It's the notion of joy that is the result of rejoicing. Paul is rejoicing in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. He's rejoicing in the Christians at Philippi. And that's another big theme here in this epistle. Rejoicing in each other. And so I want us to see this morning how Paul rejoices in the good work that God has begun in those Philippian Christians, and he's rejoicing in the fact that God will continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. So verse 6 then. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day, or until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's do our usual three things. What's the work that God has begun? When did God begin the work? And why, above all else, is this called a good work? If we look at verse 6, that word good is the most important word in the verse. He who has begun a good work in you. Let's think about why it's called a good work, shall we? Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to this verse. Heavenly Father, we are taking up this theme again today of rejoicing. And we've seen Paul, the prisoner, rejoicing in the Lord. We've seen him rejoicing in preaching. And now, our God, he rejoices in those Christians in the church at Philippi. And we want to know why Paul is rejoicing in those Christians so many miles away from him at the time when he could be feeling sorry for himself, when he could feel hard done by, he could feel anxious about his future. Yet, our God, we read that he rejoices in those Christians there, and not just there, but he rejoices in Christians everywhere. And we, our God, too, can rejoice in each other. So, Lord, help us today to think about why we should be rejoicing in each other. Lord, we ask you to speak to us then through this text, through this epistle, through any other part of the Bible that comes to mind. Lord, speak to us then by your Spirit as we want to rejoice as well, along with Paul. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's think about this work then that we've got in verse 6. And what you could do, if you wanted, you could look throughout the epistle as a whole to see if there's any other references there to the work, and you will find them. I could point them out to you. It's not very interesting if I do that. So look into the epistle, especially into chapter 2, and you'll see other references to the work of God, the work that he's doing in the Christian. I want to summarize the work like this. It's the work of bringing the dead to life. It's a work of resurrection. So we were dead in our sins. Do you remember Paul writing to the church at Ephesus? Again in chapter 2. He says that men and women everywhere are dead in trespasses and sins. And this work is a work of bringing life to those who are dead. Do you ever have a sense, an impression, when you go about your day, especially if you go somewhere that's very busy? We've been on holiday this week, very busy place. Do you ever get the impression that you're mixing with men and women who are dead in trespasses and sins? There are moments for me where that impression becomes very real, that you're joining in things, doing things with other people who are no different to you, but they are dead in trespasses and sins. So this work is God's work of raising the dead from their spiritual death to life in Jesus Christ. And one aspect of that work for me to point out to you is the work of faith, bringing a person to faith in Jesus Christ. He too was dead. He died upon the cross for the sins of men and women. He was made alive by the power of God, and that same power brings life to the spiritually dead. That's the work that Paul is summarizing here in verse 6. So he raises a person, gives them belief, faith in Jesus Christ, and salvation is a work then that begins. So that's the work, as I see it, in verse 6. And let's think about the word good next. Why is it described as good? Now, I think it would be very easy to overlook this word good. It sounds very ordinary, very everyday, very unremarkable. It's the sort of word that we would use very often without thinking about it. But the word good always has special meaning in the New Testament. And the writers of the epistles, when they use the word good, they're always thinking back to a moment in the life of Jesus when he was teaching and someone comes up to him and says, "Good teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replies, do you remember this? He says, "Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that is God." So when you read the word good, it always directs you to God. So the first thing to notice about the word then is that this is a God work, a work that only God is able to do. It's a work that is divine, eternal, infinite, just like God, because it is God's work. And again, if you just bear with me for a second, the older I get, the more sense I have that this is only a work that God can do. Not only are men and women dead in their sins, men and women are hard in their hearts. John 3 tells us that men and women love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It is only God who could do this work. It's an impossibility from every other point of view. A man, a woman, a boy or a girl, even if they wanted to, couldn't do this work, because it is God's work alone. It is a divine, miraculous work by the power of God to bring a person from death to life. So as we go through this verse today, I'm going to check in with you now and again. And I want you to think about yourself as a Christian. If you are a Christian, then you have been brought from the dead. And I wonder how long you were dead for. Some of you know that I became a Christian when I was 17. So for 17 years, I was spiritually dead. What about you? How long was it for you? God does this work. And the second thing to notice with this word good is not only does it take you back to Jesus when he said, only God is good, this word takes you back even further to Genesis, to the first chapter, to the work of creation. And do you remember when you read Genesis 1 and you read about God going through those stages of creation? After each work, God proclaimed that that work was good. So the sun and the moon and the stars, he separated the land from the sea. God made the animals, and God said, it is good, the work of creation. Well, you see, if you bring that to verse 6 here in our chapter, you're recognizing that the work that God does in the Christian is not just a work that only God can do, it's also a work of creation. Just like when God made the universe and the earth and said it was good. God does a work of creation when he brings somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. And God declares that work to be good in exactly the same way. So again, think of yourself as a Christian. God has worked in you. Only God could do it. And you are a work of creation, just like the stars in the sky, just like the flowers of the field. God's creative work is responsible for who you are in Christ. It's creator, the creator God. It's a work of creation. That's who you and I are as Christians. So it's no surprise, is it, that Paul is rejoicing in the fact that he went to this city of Philippi and he preached the gospel. We've seen how important preaching is. And as he preached the gospel, God himself was at work. He was bringing life to the dead. He was creating works in human beings that were just like the works of creation in the book of Genesis. He's rejoicing in what God is doing. So you've got the idea of work. You've got the idea of good. And then look again at verse 6, and you'll see this word begin. I'm confident, says Paul, of this very thing. He who began a good work in you. So let's ask the question then. When did this work begin? And there's two parts to the answer, and they're both linked to the past. God began this work in eternity past. Now, some of you are very familiar, aren't you, with the idea that God chooses, God elects a people for himself. So if you go back to Genesis 1, and we've done this before, go back to Genesis 1, before God said, let us God had already chosen you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. He'd already decided upon you to be one of his people whom he will save from your sins. That work began in eternity past. But we must also say, mustn't we, this work also began in your past. And if we wanted to, and it would be wonderful to do, we could try to spot that past moment in your life where God began the work. Because some of you would say, well, I think God began that work in my past when I was invited to church. Or God began the work in my past when I'd been coming to church for a number of weeks, and then suddenly one thing stood out for me, grabbed my attention, and it made me believe in Jesus. That's where God began in my past. And if you were to do that, I would be here saying to you, really? Do you really think that's the moment when God began that work in your past? And I could do a little bit of teasing, I think. I could almost say to you, come on, do you really think? Are you sure now? Is that the moment when? This work was began in our past. But when? At what point did this work of God, this life from the dead, this creative work, this divine work, when did it begin? In our past. But it did. And God worked and began that work at that point. So it's past, eternity past, our own past, this wonderful work of God begins. And what I want you to do, like I asked you last Sunday, I want you to think about your early Christian life. Some of you are still early days. Others of you, think back to your early Christian lives. I find that I'm often thinking about what I was like as a Christian when I was first saved, if you want to use those phrases. I was doing my A-levels. I can remember talking to everybody about Christ. I made myself very unpopular in the sixth form by talking to everybody about Christ. I was especially unpopular with the teachers. One subject I was doing was A-level music, and I remember an occasion when the teacher, who still back then used to wear the cap and the gown from his graduation, he'd served in the military, he trained as a teacher as part of the government schemes after the Second World War, very strict, very scary teacher, so angry with me for raising Christ as a subject in the class on one occasion. Looking back, as I do that, seems to me that I was a far better Christian then than I am now. Talking about Christ more, witnessing, let's use that word, witnessing more than I do now, always wanting to be in fellowship. My A-levels suffered. I didn't study as much as I should have, because if there was a meeting going on somewhere, I wanted to be there. There were meetings on Friday nights, preaching services on Saturday nights. I look back and I think, that Christian you were there, Neil, much better than the Christian you are now. Much better than the Christian you've been for a long time. But when you come to a verse like this, do you recognize how wrong that thinking is? Listen to it again, verse 6. I'm confident, says Paul, of this very thing. And he means by that, he means a doctrine. He means the doctrine of salvation. How a person is saved. What he's confident about is that, yes, it's God's work. Only God can do it. Yes, it's a work of resurrection. Yes, it's a work of creation. It's no different. We're all mini creations of a creator God. Yes to all that, he says. But he says, doesn't he? He who began a good work He sees it as a beginning. And then he goes on to say this. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what that means is this. He means God, who works in you, continues to do a good work in you through every present moment. It's not a work that God does, and it all stops as soon as it starts. It's not the idea that, you know, God raises you from the dead, gives you faith in Jesus, and then that's it. He's finished. The work of God, this good work of God, it continues through all your present moments and all the circumstances, the challenges, the experiences, the opportunities, the moments of every day of your life. That good work of God is a continuing work and is just as good a work as it was at the beginning. Now, some of you I know, over the years, you've told me, oh, I'm not like I was when I was first saved. I'm not going to name names, that would be wrong. But some of you here this morning, you've told me about what you were like when you first came to Christ. And some of you have told me that, oh, I wasn't very dramatically saved. I wasn't even sure if I was saved. And then I used to say, where have I changed? How am I different? And then you'd recognize how you were different. Many of you look back and you think that it was better then than it is now. You think you were better then than you are now. You think about the mistakes you've made now. And you think about the way that you feel you've let yourself down over the years, that you've changed. Change is something that belongs to God. God changed you when he raised you from the dead, and he changed you when he brought you to faith, and he has continued to do that good work of changing you through every moment. And whether we can recognize it or put a finger to it, we don't know. But that work is ongoing and continuous and wonderful and glorious and divine every day. That's the work of God. And Paul is confident that this work goes on. And if you wanted to, you could look at the epistle for the word confident. And Paul says again and again and again how confident he is. He's confident in prison. He's confident for the church. He's confident in the outcome. He's filled with confidence because it is a good work of God that is going on for him and for others, even for all of us. So verse 6, it's a good work that begins. It's a good work that continues. And then, of course, Paul is saying at the end of the verse, it's a good work that will be completed. God never starts something and gives up on it. He never begins a work and then abandons it. Having begun a good work in you, God's not going to abandon you or give up on you, or fail you. God will continue to do this good work through every day, no matter what, until this work is completed. And the work that God began in you, it will be completed. There's a date set for its completion. And that date is only known by God. It's the day when Jesus Christ returns. And on that day, your work will be complete. His work in you will be completed. And Paul's confidence is not in himself, it's not in the Christians at Philippi. Paul's confidence is in God, that God will complete the work that he began. Do you ever forget to finish something? Have you ever started something and given up on it? It's too difficult, too boring, too many challenges. Other things have come along and grabbed your attention. We have a God who will never give up on any work that he has begun. And we've said it's like creation, so God is not going to give up on creation. God will renew creation. We'll have a new heaven. We'll have a new earth. God began a creative work in you, which he will not give up. He will continue to do it. He'll work his power. He'll work his glory. He'll work his majesty to continue this work in your life. And he'll bring it to completion on the day of Christ. And Paul says that on that day, when the work in us is complete, we'll have confidence. And I want us to think about that maybe in the weeks to come. Think about the day of Christ. Let's paint that picture, shall we? It's linked to that second portrait of Christ. Let's paint a picture of what the day of Christ looks like, with a trumpet sounding and the dead being raised and the judgment seat being set up and all men and women gathered in front of Christ to give an account. Shall we paint that picture in the weeks to come so that we get as full a picture as we can of what that great day looks like? I'm not interested in when it will be, because that's known only to God. But what does it look like, that great day? Let's paint that picture. And let's continue the theme of rejoicing in it and being confident on that day. Confident, because that day will see the completion of a work that God began in eternity past, in our past. He's continued it and he brings it to that moment. Let's do that, shall we, in the weeks to come. So today is about beginnings. When did God begin this work? Tonight will be about endings. When God ends a work, what does that look like? Let's ask God to bless his word to us, shall we?